Hollywood, California presents Chapter 2 of a new air show.
The star of the show, Gene Herschel, in his greatest of all roles.
The title of the show, Dr. Christian.
The sponsor of the show, the Cheeseborough Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline.
For years, Gene Herschel was one of the outstanding character actors of pictures. Then came the day that he was assigned to the part of the country doctor in the 20th Century Fox production of that name. And Gene Herschel became one of the foremost stars of Hollywood. It gives us great pleasure to be able to bring to you the extraordinary gifts of this great artist in the kind of role that made him famous and that he made. As Paul Christian, the doctor of River's End, Gene Herschel has in store for you many hours of absorbing, heartwarming drama to high spot your Sunday afternoons this winter. We take you now without further delay to the doctor's office, where the irrepressible Judy Price, his secretary, is typing a letter. Dr. Christian is just returning from his morning calls.
Any phone calls while I was out, Judy?
Mrs. Ross, she said you got the medicine okay.
That's fine.
And Charlotte Dixon, she's coming over to see you. Oh, did you read what it said about her in the Enterprise this morning?
No, I haven't had a chance to look at the paper.
Well, listen to this. Local poetess wins acclaim. Mrs. Steve Dixon, whose verses have appeared from time to time in the Enterprise, has received national recognition with her poem, Penelope, which appears in the current issue of the New Arts magazine.
Well, how nice.
According to the editor of the New Arts magazine, Mrs. Dixon strikes a new and unique note in American poetry. There's part of the poem printed here, too. Listen to this and tell me if it gives you a lift. Penelope, with tear-dimmed eyes, watches the mocking sea. No sail appears, bringing her loved one back. A gray expanse, as empty as her heart. A mist-filled wind, as bitter as her tears.
Well, say, now that's pretty good.
Hello, Dr. Paul. Hello, Judy.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Charlotte. Come in. You're just reading your poem.
Pretty nice breaking into print this way.
Oh, did you like it?
Well, I thought it was wonderful. But, don't you think you should have made it rhyme?
Oh, but I write free verse.
Oh, don't do that, Charlotte. If it's good enough to be printed, it's good enough to be paid for.
No, you see, free verse, Doctor, is the new form of poetry. And modern poetry is an expression of emotion. Something which reflects the poet's mind.
Oh, you mean it's blank verse.
Well, I'm...
But then I guess I don't know much about modern poetry.
No one does. It's in a transitional state, emerging from obsolete, decadent forms as a butterfly bursts from its chrysalis.
Huh? I see.
But what I came in for, may I talk to you for a moment in private?
Why, sure, Charlotte. Come on in here. Oh, Judy... When you finish those letters, will you leave them on my desk? Sit down, Charlotte. I hope there's nothing wrong.
Oh, I'm not ill or anything like that. It's simply that you're the only man I know well enough to turn to. I want your advice. Dr. Christian, I've decided to get a divorce from Steve.
Oh, so?
Well, aren't you a little surprised?
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't blame a woman for divorcing a man who beats her.
Dr. Christian, you know very well Steve has never even spoken a cross word to me.
No, not when he's sober, when he's drinking, you know.
He doesn't drink.
Oh, I begin to see now. Another woman.
But it isn't.
No?
Of course not. Steve wouldn't look at another woman. Sometimes I wish he would.
Well, if it isn't wine and it isn't women, what does he do? Sing in the bathtub?
Dr. Christian, I'm serious.
Well, I'm only trying to find out what's the matter with Steve.
But there's nothing the matter, exactly. Steve's all right. Only he's so dull, so commonplace, so uninteresting.
Well, now, wasn't he that way when you married him?
I don't know. I suppose he was.
Oh, but just the same, you loved him.
I don't think I did. I don't think I ever loved him. As for this ghastly town, living here is like living in chains. It's stifling.
Wait. I'll open the window.
No, no. It's my soul that's being stifled.
Oh, your soul.
Oh, I know I'm different from most people, Dr. Christian. But I can't help it. I'm like a bird in a cage here. I want to be free. Free. to dance under the moon on dew-covered grass, to feel the wind ruffling my hair, the rain on my cheek.
All right, but I'm warning you, you'll catch cold.
Please don't kid, Dr. Paul. I need help.
Oh, but Charlotte, you're talking ridiculously. A divorce for you and Steve? Who would ever put an idea like that into your head?
Because I want to go to the city. I want to write, to have a career.
Well, I still don't see why you have to divorce Steve in order to have a career. Go ahead, have your career, and then you...
But that's just the point. I can't have it here. An artist doesn't create simply out of himself. He has to have the stimulus of other minds. Contact with people and surroundings which inspire him. Isn't that true?
Well, maybe it is, but...
And what inspiration can Steve give me? What inspiration can I find in a place like River's End? No, I've got to get away.
Well, writing poetry for a living is a pretty hard job, Charlotte.
I know. I expect to have to suffer for my art. Every artist must suffer. And I'd rather live in an attic and starve than go on like this.
Well, this is all a big shock to me, Charlotte. I can't believe it. Can't believe that you treat Steve this way.
All you do is talk of Steve. Steve. But what about me? What about my happiness? I'm entitled to happiness, am I not?
Yeah, I suppose all of us are entitled to all the happiness we can get. Well, have you talked to Steve about leaving him?
Yes. Only he doesn't understand. Because I have a roof over my head, comfort, safety, he thinks I should be delighted.
You'd be surprised how many women would be.
But I'm different. You know I am. Oh, Steve and I don't talk the same language. I want you to explain to him, to tell him...
Oh, no, I can't do that.
Oh, but you've got to. He'll listen to you. You're the only one who
can... Oh, yeah, but you can't drag me into this, Charlotte.
Oh, Dr. Christian, please.
That's final.
Is it asking so much just to talk to him?
Listen, Charlotte, I can't take sides with you against Steve.
It isn't a matter of taking sides. I'm leaving Steve anyway. But if he could only be made to realize why I'm leaving, that it isn't because of some little, mean, petty reason, but for something glorious, he'd feel better about it. Don't you see, Dr. Christian? You'd be helping him, not me.
Are you positively determined on going away, Charlotte?
Yes.
And you're sure you don't love Steve?
I'm certain of it.
All right. I'll have a talk with him. You and Steve be here in my office at 6 o'clock. Till then, you'd better think it over. Life is a long, dark road to walk alone.
For me, the road is not entirely dark. Beyond the shadowy eastern hills, the dawn is breaking.
Just a minute. Oh, come in, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Hello.
Sit down, won't you?
Thanks, Doc.
I guess you know why I asked to drop in. Charlotte has told you that she wants to get
her... Oh, Doc, that's silly. I don't get what it's all about. If I've done something...
Why... I've told you, you haven't.
No. Neither of you has done anything except to be born human beings with emotions and feelings... They don't always behave the way you'd like them to behave.
But if she's sore at me, there must be... Now look, Charlotte, is it because I play pool on Wednesday evenings? If it is, I'll give it up. I don't think that you...
Don't be absurd.
Well, then...
It's simply that we're not spiritually mated, Steve. We're not on the same intellectual plane.
Oh, yeah, I know I'm kind of a dumbbell, but if you want me to, I'll study up. I'll get some good books and...
Oh, you haven't the slightest idea of what I'm talking about.
It's this way, Steve. You and I are just ordinary people. But Charlotte is different. She has talent. She wants a career. She feels that it's the only way she can find happiness. Well, you want her to be happy, don't you?
Oh, of course I do, Doc, but it seems to me that...
Well,
she
likes to go to the city, and she likes to live in an attic, and...
But she doesn't have to go to the city. We've got an attic right in our house. I'll fix it up for her. I'll put in some wallboard and a radiator.
It isn't exactly that kind of an attic. Charlotte is an artist. She has to suffer for her.
Oh, she can suffer at home and be a lot more comfortable.
Oh, what's the use of continuing this? Steve, I've tried every way I know how to tell you this without saying it in so many words. I didn't want to hurt you, but I'm afraid I'll have to. I just don't have any feeling left at all for you.
Oh, now, honey.
Don't touch me, please.
But, Charlotte, won't you tell me what the trouble is?
I just told you. I don't love you.
Why? Why? There must be a reason.
Love doesn't go by reason. You can't argue with your heart. I don't, that's all.
Well, I guess I get it now.
It's one of those things that can't be helped, Steve. Charlotte wants you to give her freedom. I don't think you'll stand in her way, will you?
No. It's all right, Doc. I won't stand in her way.
I think it would be a good idea for Charlotte to see a lawyer. You know, not here, but in the city where it can be handled quietly.
I'll go tomorrow.
And Steve, you...
Dr. Christian.
What is it?
There's been an accident.
Oh,
an accident?
A girl ran off the road in her car. Roy Davis and Amos Plummer bringing her in.
All right, Amos.
I'll bring her right in my office, will you?
Here, just lean on me.
Her car hit a stump, Doc. Don't seem to be much damage done, but...
I'm really all right.
Take it easy.
I can walk, Doctor.
All right. That's it. Come right along. Judy, you stay here, will you? And the rest of you, wait outside.
How did it happen?
I don't know. Amos here.
Yeah, I was going along the river road on my motorcycle and I saw this car off the road up against a stump. Well, I took a look and there she was, slumped down in her seat. Fainted.
Oh. She must have fainted at the wheel and the stump stopped the car.
Yeah. Well, I picked her up and started for Doc's office and on the way I met Roy.
I wonder who she is.
I got her name off her driver's license. It's Barbara Powell.
She's a girl with money and breeding, judging from her clothes.
Yeah, and a swell looker, too. Didn't mind carrying her in my arms at all.
Did you leave her car there?
I had to. It'll be all right.
She must have been driving through to the city. A person like her certainly wouldn't find anything in this town to stop for.
Except a stump, maybe.
Just a little shaken up, that's all. Well, you're mighty lucky that it wasn't worse.
I guess I am, Doctor.
And this fainting spell, you say you never had one before?
No, never.
How long are you going to stay in River's End?
Oh, I'd planned to stay for several weeks. It's such a beautiful town.
Good. Well, then I would suggest that you drop in and see me in a day or two. And don't try to drive your car anymore this evening. Constable Plum here will take you to where you're going.
Say, I'm sorry, Doc, but I've just got my motorcycle.
And I left my jalopy home in the garage.
Oh, well, what about you, Steve? Your car's right outside, isn't it? Couldn't you see the young lady to her friends?
Doc, I'll take her.
Well, thank you, all of you. I'm sorry I've caused so much trouble.
No trouble at all, Miss Powell. Well, good night, Doc.
Good night, Doc.
Good night, and thank you again.
Good night, and try to keep out of smash-ups.
I will.
I'll come back for you, Charlotte.
You needn't. I know the way home.
Oh, Charlotte.
Hey, Steve, you coming?
Yeah, I'm coming.
Well, Charlotte... It's all settled now. You'll soon be free. Happy?
Wonderfully happy. Now at last I can begin to live.
I hope you didn't mind me asking Steve to try Miss Powell.
Why should I mind? I'm sorry for her, that's all. He'll bore her to death.
And before Roy Davis, the druggist of River's End, gets away from me, I'm going to take time out at this point in our story to ask Roy to tell you what he thinks about the products that make this program possible. All right, Roy?
Good afternoon, friends of the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company. And I know there are millions of you because Vaseline products are the kind of preparations that make friends everywhere. In a survey which I had a chance to see recently, it was shown that Vaseline products are actually in use in practically every home in the United States and Canada. Now, this is a record that can be claimed by very few trademarked articles, and there are good reasons for it. First, these products are made with special care by a company of the highest standards, with the experience of over 50 years behind them. Second, they're unique. Third, they're genuinely useful. Fourth, they're safe. Fifth, they are priced right. The jar of Vaseline petroleum jelly, for example, costs you only 10 cents. And 10 cents is a very small price to pay for an article that can be relied upon for all sorts of first aid emergencies, such as burns, scalds, cuts, skin abrasions, and other minor wounds which occur from day to day in the average household. So on behalf of myself and druggists generally, I suggest that you do yourself a good turn by replenishing your medicine cabinet with Vaseline preparations tomorrow.
Thank you, Roy Davis. And so we return to our story of Dr. Christian of River's End, which stars Jean Hersholt in the title role. The time, about a week later. The scene, the River's End annual picnic, where Barbara Powell is quite a center of attraction. We find her dancing with Steve.
I suppose this is a pretty tame affair for you, Miss Powell.
Tame? Why?
Oh, I don't know. After you've lived in Paris and New York and really seen things, well, the River's End Merchant's Picnic must seem kind of silly.
I don't think there's anything silly in people enjoying themselves, whether it's in Paris or River's End.
You're certainly different from what I thought you'd be.
What did you think I'd be?
Oh, I sort of figured you'd be a little uppity and, well, you're just natural.
Disappointed?
Gosh, no.
Oh, what's that little blue pennant mean? The one they've just put up over the orchestra stand.
Oh, say, that means I'm lucky.
Lucky?
Mm-hmm. The pennant's a sign that this is a prize dance. And I'm lucky I've got you for a partner.
Oh, mercenary.
Oh.
So you just wanted me to dance with you so you could win a prize. Well, for that, I'll dance very badly.
Oh, no, no, honest, I didn't. The fact is, I didn't know it was going to be a prize dance when I asked you.
The fact is, you didn't even ask me. You practically carried me off bodily.
Well, with that crowd of fellas around you, I had to. You're not peeved about it, are you?
Gosh, no.
You know, it seems like we've known each other for years.
And let me see. It's been less than a week, hasn't it?
It was a week ago last night that I drove you home in my car. I remember you had on a blue dress and a little black hat.
And my hair was all mussed and my nose shiny and I looked a fright.
No, I don't remember that.
You have the most marvelous memory in the world.
Now, you're wrong. I'm dumb. Ask anybody.
I think we're both a little dumb. The music stopped and here we are still dancing.
Let's go to the judge's stand.
Oh, I forgot the prize. Think you're going to get it?
Prize or not, I'm still lucky.
Hi there, Doc. You ought to be dancing. This is the prize dance.
Oh, no, I'm going to sit this one out.
Dr. Christian.
Oh, hello, Charlotte. I thought you were in the city.
I just got back. Everything is arranged.
Good. I think you're going to be much happier, Charlotte, and Steve, too.
Why, what do you mean?
Well, aren't you going to be happier?
Why, yes. Yes, of course I am. Only I...
Well, now that Steve has had time to think it over, I'm sure he feels much better about it.
Yes, he must.
Huh?
Oh, don't think I didn't notice him dancing with that Powell girl. Very interested in each other they were, too. I don't understand what she sees in him.
Oh, now, don't pay any attention to what people say about Steve and Barbara Powell.
What they say? What who says?
Why, nobody. I meant about them dancing together. Well, they probably just met here at the picnic.
Don't worry. I'm not interested in the Powell girl. She means nothing to me. Nothing. Neither does Steve. If he wants to make a fool of himself, he can go right.
Ladies and gentlemen, for your attention, please. Quiet, please, quiet. The first prize for the handsomest couple on the floor goes to Miss Barbara Powell and Steve Dixon.
And right here, may I say that no small part of Miss Barbara Powell's charm is her brown, curly head, every hair of which shines with a luster of natural health. Crisp, vital hair grows only on scalps that are both clean and healthy. If you are having trouble with your hair, try this health-giving treatment. Each time before you shampoo your hair, give the scalp a thorough massage with Vaseline Hair Tonic. Part the hair lock by lock and apply the tonic directly to the scalp with a bit of cotton. Then use a rotary motion of the fingertips like that you use in creaming your face. The scalp will loosen up, begin to tingle, grow pink with the friction and the increased flow of blood to the hair roots. After the massage, shampoo your hair as usual. And for a final grooming, apply a tiny bit of Vaseline Hair Tonic, either with the palms of the hands or an atomizer. Stage beauties are among our most regular customers. Every girl is taught as part of her training in makeup to spray Vaseline Hair Tonic on her hair to give it that halo look under the lights. Try it yourself next time you go to a dance. Vaseline Hair Tonic comes in two sizes at 40 and 70 cents and can be purchased in any drugstore. And now we take you back to River's End. The time is a week later in the afternoon, and the scene is laid in Dr. Christian's office.
Any phone calls, Judy?
Steve Dixon. He's on his way over to see you.
Oh.
Look, it's none of my business, but just why are you so interested in helping Charlotte divorce Steve?
Well, now, Judy, it's this way. Charlotte is ambitious. She wants a career. She wants to go to the city and start writing.
Hmm. She'll start writing soon enough. Writing home for money.
Oh, you're mistaken, Judy. Charlotte has talent.
Who says so?
She does. She has something down deep inside her that burns and throbs.
That isn't talent. That's heartburn.
Oh, no, no. You take this too lightly. Charlotte is willing to make a big sacrifice for her career.
Charlotte's always willing to make a big sacrifice, as long as she sacrifices someone else. What she needs is a good spanking.
Oh, it won't be all roses for her. She's going to be hurt, too.
Yes, but not in the right place. I went to school with Charlotte, and she's not the...
Dr. Christian, I've got to see you.
Speak of the et cetera, et cetera.
Why, of course, Charlotte. Judy, I'll be busy for a moment. Come in my office, Charlotte.
Close the door, please.
All right. Charlotte, what are you so excited about? Nothing's going wrong with the divorce?
I don't want a divorce.
What? What's that? You don't...
It's all been a mistake. A terrible mistake. I've been thinking it over.
Well, now, here. You're letting your emotions run away with you. Well, I'm surprised. You're not an emotional type. You're intellectual. What's happened?
I've decided I can write poetry at home. I don't have to go...
Now, wait. We've already discussed all that. An artist has to have contact with people and surrounding which can inspire him. You can't get that here. And you know how uninspiring Steve is.
I don't care. She's not going to get rid of me that way.
Get rid of you? Well, who's trying to get rid of you?
That Powell girl. You know perfectly well she's interested in Steve. You can't fool me.
Charlotte. Barbara Powell is a wealthy, sophisticated young woman. Steve wouldn't appeal to her.
I tell you, I know what I'm talking about. She's an adventuress. She came to River's End and we took her in and then...
And then she took you in, huh?
Well, she won't get away with it. You wait and see.
Well, I'm disappointed in you, Charlotte. Deeply disappointed. To think that you're throwing away your career, your whole life in a fit of jealousy.
Just the same, I'm not going to divorce Steve.
Well, if that's the way you feel. Oh, Judy, as soon as Steve Dixon... Oh, hello, Steve. Come in here a minute. Well, Charlotte's changed her mind, Steve.
It's been a mistake, Steve. I'm not going to divorce you. I want you to come home.
Well, I don't know about that, Charlotte.
You don't know.
You see, I've made other plans.
Oh, you can't be in love with that Barbara Powell. You just can't. There's no reason.
Love doesn't go by reason, Charlotte. You can't argue with your heart.
Oh.
Now, please, Charlotte, you mustn't. I don't... Well, what I want to say is...
Yes, Charlotte. Steve doesn't want to hurt you, but you know he might be as tired of you as you are of him.
I don't care if he is. She's not going to have him. I won't let him go.
Now, hold on. That isn't fair. What about his happiness? He's entitled to happiness, the same as you are, or anyone else. Are you going to stand in his way?
Yes, I am.
Well, I've tried to help you, and this is the way it turns out.
Oh, I know. It was all my fault.
You wrote a poem once about Penelope. So I suppose you know the story of Penelope. She let her husband go away from her, and she had a hard time getting him back. Well, I wish you luck.
Oh, Steve, you understand, don't you?
Sure. I was a long time getting it till you told me in words of one syllable. But now I understand perfectly. You don't love me.
Oh, but when I said that,
I'm hoping that now I've found someone who does. And what's more, she doesn't care much for poetry.
Oh, how can you treat me this way?
And she likes River's End. In fact, she's crazy about it. It doesn't stifle her at all. And she thinks the people here are swell.
Oh, Steve, if you'll only give me another chance.
I'm sorry, Charlotte, but from now on, I'm going my own way, along my own road.
Yes, it's like I've read somewhere. And beyond the shadowy eastern hills, the dawn is breaking.
Goodbye, Charlotte.
No, Steve, wait.
Now, what's the use? We can never make a go of it. We're not on the same intellectual plane. Oh, I can't keep this game up. I'm no good at it. I don't love Barbara Powell at all. Only you.
Steve.
Oh, darling. Darling.
Steve. Charlotte. Well, it looks like I'm not wanted in here.
And did you notice the way they went out of here? Like a pair of cooing doves. I told you not to try to help Charlotte.
Oh, well...
Charlotte didn't want a divorce in the first place. All she wanted was a chance to dramatize herself. She thought...
Everybody at home?
Oh, hello,
Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
I just dropped in to say goodbye.
Well, I see you kept out of a smash-up. Mm-hmm. Sit down and get your breath.
No, I haven't got a minute. I'm driving back to town, and I want to get there before dark.
Oh, too bad you're going. It's been nice having you with us.
And I've had loads of fun. I'm glad you sent for me.
What?
Do I qualify as siren number one, Dr. Paul?
You go to the head of the class.
You've no idea what a hard time I had getting Steve Dixon to take me to that picnic and keeping him with me when he saw Charlotte was there.
And you have no idea what a hard time I had getting him to put up a little bluff this afternoon.
Say, what is this anyway?
Well, I left my motor running, so goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Barbara.
And thanks. I'd say try won't see us again sometime.
I will.
So, you sent for her, hmm?
Well, mm-hmm.
And this whole business about Steve falling for her was a frame-up, simply to give Charlotte something to think about.
Oh, now, I wouldn't exactly call it a frame-up, I only...
Dr. Christian, you're a faker.
Now, I understand that, Judy. I'm a scientist, and I've just discovered a remarkable anatomical fact.
What fact?
That there's more than one place where you can spank a person.
And thus we conclude Chapter 2 in the story of Dr. Christian of River's End. But lest we give you the impression that all young women are dissatisfied at home these days, listen to this one.
I'm one of millions of girls who live at home and keep house, and like it. One thing I promised myself when I married, I would never get to look like a household drudge, even if I do all my own work and take full care of the baby. Two of my greatest chores are washing the dishes 3 times a day and laundering the baby's things, both of them so hard on the hands. So I bought an extra jar of Vaseline jelly, which I keep right on the shelf over the kitchen sink. The minute I'm through with the dishes, I rub some into my hands. I find it soothing and healing. The red wrinkle look soon disappears. My cuticles stay smooth. My nails are no longer dry and brittle. This is a very easy home remedy for dry, chapped, rough hands. And cheap, too. Only 10 cents a jar. Do take a tip from me and try it.
Thank you, young lady. When you purchase Vaseline products, look for the trademark Vaseline on the package. If you don't see it, you are not getting the genuine article. Prices mentioned on this program apply only in the United States. Next Sunday at this same time, the makers of Vaseline preparations will present Chapter 3 in the story of Paul Christian, the Doctor of River's End, with Jean Hersholt in the title role. Jean Hersholt appears on this program through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. And by the way, if you haven't seen the new 20th Century Fox picture, Heidi, in which Jean Hersholt appears with Shirley Temple, you have a treat ahead of you. It is now showing at theaters everywhere. This is Arthur Gilmore bidding you good afternoon for the makers of Vaseline preparations. Broadcast.